you get enough bills piled up on you, you'll show a little bit of it. Yes, you will. Things aren't going right and you're not making enough money to pay your bills. After a while, you're going to start being depressed to a great extent. But we can, however, overcome all of those things. It's not impossible to rise above them. And we've got to recognize that we've got to get ourselves equal. Our soul has to be in possession of that intangible quality of being submitted and obedient to God and having His favor. If that soul is resting in God's favor, if there's no condemnation, if our conscience is not bothering us, nobody's going to be happy with your conscience bothering you. I'll tell you that. No true happiness can result from any effort you make when your conscience is uttering protest against what you've done. And old conscience, before you can enjoy sin or sinful pleasures or pursuits, must first be seared and deadened by your subsequent refusal to hearken to the warnings of that conscience. And that's not happiness. I want to review here just a few things as substitutes of happiness here. Very briefly, gratification is not happiness. Most people trade this understudy of happiness for true happiness, however, but gratification is only a harmony between our desires and our possessions, what we have with what we want. And too many times, just because we get something tangible in our hand or enjoy something, that gratification forms a substitute temporarily for happiness. And we forget that it may be a part, but that is not happiness. Gratification is always incomplete. It is a mental pleasure in quality, in the quality of what you possess, but not in the quantity of what you have. Boy, happiness is when you get that soul and heart and mind and everything all tuned up with God. Everything you need to make you happy in Jesus, and use that wisdom and understanding and love and faith to identify with the real loves and desires of Jesus. There's another understudy of happiness that people substitute for happiness. That's satisfaction. Satisfaction is a perfect identity of our desires and possessions. That's when there's a perfect unity or identity there of those desires we want and the things we have. But it lasts only as long as this perfect union exists, and you can't make it exist long. And then the new feedings you have on new things that you want, it stimulates you with new appetites, and that brings forth new cravings that causes you to be called in some new activities seeking for satisfaction. And that dissatisfaction arises, and the balance is destroyed between your desires and your possessions, and dissatisfaction re-enters, and then you're miserable and unhappy again. See, it's only temporary. And too many people feel like, oh, I'm just satisfied with what I got. No, you're not. Let me tell you something. There's something about these things that are almost like a narcotic. Things that people want to substitute for real happiness that God can give you by submitting to Him, surrendering to Him, seeking the wisdom and finding it and then using it. Why, there's no substitute for it. A craving for things. Satisfaction that you, when you get a perfect identity of your desires and possessions, is a result of a craving for things. And this is not happiness. Happiness is the satisfying of the soul. It's not the satisfying of the mind or of the body. Then another one arises, a substitute for happiness. That's content. Oh, I'm just contented with what I have. All right, let me tell you something. This is a greatly overrated virtue. It makes the world more comfortable for the individual, but it's a death knell of any future progress you're ever going to make when you can be contented with what I have. Well, I tell you, it's all right for a Christian to be contented sometimes with what you have, but you never better get contented with what you are. If you are, you're a dead man. Content is a moral and spiritual and physical chloroform. God, it'll deaden everything. It'll deaden your activities of any future progress that you might make. It deadens your activities for a Christian or any individual to rise to better and higher planes and things in your life when you become contented with what you are or what you have, either one. It kills any future progress that you'd make. And there are times, I say, when you may be content with what you have, but never be content with what you are, or you'll stagger and stifle and die in that condition and never find out what true happiness is. Pleasure. Pleasure is not happiness. Pleasure is temporary. Happiness is continuous. Pleasure can exist when conscience utters a violent protest against what you're doing. Happiness, never. Pleasure has its dregs and its lees, but none can ever be found in the cup of happiness. Praise God, it's always clean. Never has any dregs, no lees, no hangovers in that wonderful cup of happiness. Isn't that great? You can buy pleasures, I said. You can acquire content. You can become satisfied. But God never put real happiness on the bargain counter of life, because the basis of true happiness is the love of something outside and beyond yourself and for yourself. As long as you're tied up with selfish interest, you want everything for you, I'm worried about me, I tell you right now, I don't like this, I don't like this. You got to get your mind off of that. One accusation I hate is somebody accused me of being selfish. Anything I have, anything I get, everything I have, I share it with others. I share it with my family. I share it with you people that supply it. Everything. Everything and anything. Material. I don't put it away. I don't save it for a rainy day. I'm not looking for a rainy day. If you look for one, you'll get it. It'll take what you have. Praise God. Happiness is a voice of optimism, of faith, of simple, steadfast love. Happiness is calm and peaceful. It never lives in an atmosphere of worry or hopeless struggle. Praise God, that wisdom and that understanding with that faith and love and joy and peace that the Lord puts in our lives makes us rise above the hopeless struggle of the natural people around us. That atmosphere of worry must go. The noise and the din of, well, it's wanting to have something less than peace around our lives, our homes, our business, our office, or wherever it happens to be. All of that noise of war must go, and we must resign to that wonderful joy and peace that God in love and faith has put in our inward parts, that we can remain calm and peaceful. We cannot afford to let our lives be drawn into an atmosphere of worry or hopelessness or a struggle. We must commit it to God. That's why in this same third chapter of Proverbs that I went to, from the 13th verse through 18, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, happy is everyone that retaineth her. Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding. That's worth repeating. In all thy ways acknowledge him, he shall direct thy paths. Be not a smart aleck, don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, depart from evil. It'll be health to your navel, marrow to your bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, with the first fruits of all thine increase. Then your barns will be filled with plenty. Your presses burst out with new wine. My God, have mercy. When God saves us, Jesus comes to our life, then we've got to let those old feelings of frustration or frustration and all that stress that comes upon us because we have the pressures of today's activities upon us, but everybody has them.